Well, it's about time you got here, Costello. This is going to be a big night on our program. I've invited Rudy Vallee to be our guest.
Rudy Vallee?
Yep.
But his program follows our program. You mean to tell me he's going to be on our program and then sing for a half hour on his own program?
What's wrong
with... That means he'll be on the air for a whole hour.
What's wrong with that?
His nose is going to be awfully tired.
No, Costello. Rudy Vallee does not sing through his nose. That's false.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. I didn't know he had a false nose.
He hasn't got a false nose. It's the rumor that's false.
Rumor is false?
Certainly.
Why is he taking that kind of rumor then?
No, he doesn't take in rumors, Lou. Some people say that Rudy Vallee sings through his nose, and I found out it was a false rumor.
Oh, you mean Rudy's a ventriloquist?
No, he's not a ventriloquist.
Then why has he got a rumor singing through his nose?
There's no rumor singing through his nose. When I say rumor, I don't mean a rumor like a baller. The kind of rumor I mean is spreading false tales.
Rumor is spreading a false tale?
That's right.
That I gotta see.
See what?
I'd like to see Vallee singing through his false nose while his rumor sits there wagging his false tail.
Look, Costello, for the last time I'm trying to tell you there's a false tail on Vallee's nose.
Oh, now he's got a tail on his nose.
Costello, please.
Who's he rooming with? Mickey Mouse?
Will you stop talking like an idiot?
Look, Adam, tell me what this. Rudy Vallee's got a nose, hasn't he?
Yes.
And he sings through his nose, don't he?
No, that's a rumor.
Does the rumor sing?
No.
Then what is he doing in his nose?
The rumor is not in his nose. The rumor is on his nose.
Where some people won't go to find a place to live.
Quiet. Stay quiet, Costello. Now, that may be Rudy Vallee now. Come in.
Ah, good evening, gentlemen. I am Professor Melonhead.
Melonhead, eh? And you look it, too. Yeah, the captain's guy on a skeleton is right.
Ah, Costello, behave yourself. What can we do for you, Professor?
Well, I, sir, am Mr. Rudy Valley's trusted advisor. Yes, sir, it is my duty to investigate the mentality of those with whom Mr. Vallee comes in contact. You see, Mr. Vallee only associates with eyebrows.
Eyebrows?
Yes.
I can see that. Your brow runs all the way back to the back of your neck. That is a beautiful head of skin.
All right. Please,
who
Costello.
Shines it for you?
Costello, please.
Who shines it?
Never mind that, please.
It's a lovely palette.
All right. The man has ball. That's not his fault. Just what do you have in mind? Yes.
Not only bald, but bold.
All right.
He's a bold.
Yes.
Something else.
He's a professor. Yes. By the way, what do you have in mind, Professor?
Professor
Melonhead.
I have come here expressly to improve Mr. Lucas Double Sixty so that he will be fit to converse with Mr. Vallee. Now, you, sir, I know. You're Mr. Bud Abbott, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, if you know him, then you should know me.
Oh, of course I know you. I never forget a... What is that thing? Oh, a face, of course. You see, my dear boy, you are proof positive of the Darwinian theory of evolution. And I'll prove it to you. First in evolution came what? The primeval ooze, then the amoeba, then the ape, chimpanzee, orangutan, gorilla, then the pithecanthropus erectus, then the Neanderthal man, the Java man, the Theomagian man, the Mystical man, then you, and then the human race.
Abbott, I am about to plug a melon.
Professor, I'm afraid that Costello resents your remarks.
He's right. Abbott is absolutely right. I resemble those remarks.
Resemble? My, what English? And you expect to entertain Mr. Vallee, a man of infinite culture, the antithesis of everything you misrepresent, resemble? The moment I use polish in every conversation, Mr. Costello, you commit a faux pas. Why do you attempt intelligent repartee in the extemporaneous manner when your intelligence quotient is minus nil, sir? Why don't you admit to the status of a non-compos mentis non-entity?
That's a lie! I never seen with the back door without unless it's locked or unlocked and something.
Mr. Costello, that is a deliberate misconception, and I accentuate the positive. Why, any word of more than one syllable ruins your equilibrium. Costello, you don't even know what a syllable is, do you?
Yes, sir.
Do you know what a syllable is?
Yes.
Well, tell us, what's a syllable?
Syllable.
I'll give you a chance to tell us. What's a syllable?
Syllable.
Speak right up and tell it, ladies and
gentlemen. A syllable.
Everybody knows what it is. Now, we're going to know whether you know what it is or not.
I know what it is.
That's fine. Go ahead and speak up.
A syllable.
Take your time. Don't rush.
A syllable.
Don't hurry yourself now.
A syllable.
You do know what it is, of course.
Well, let me say it!
That's it. One word at a time.
I'm talking too much, ain't I?
Go ahead. Tell the folks what's a syllable. You don't mind if I get a word in here, do you?
Look, go ahead. I'm kind of gabby, ain't I?
All right. Now, what is a syllable?
A syllable is
a sound, right?
See what I mean?
Yes. A sound formed by letters of the alphabet placed in juxtaposition one to the other. Now, how many letters in the alphabet? Do you know?
It's about...
No, there's not about. There's a definite number. How many letters in the alphabet?
35, maybe?
No.
34?
No, there are not 34. Now, for example, let's go right here. Now, the letters of the alphabet placed in juxtaposition
form what?
They form syllables, right? Now, how many syllables in a one-syllable word?
One.
A two-syllable word?
Two.
A four-syllable word?
Three.
No, no. A four is the middle syllable of four. What's the middle syllable in a four-syllable word?
Middle syllable?
The middle syllable. What is it?
That's
the middle syllable. There is no middle syllable.
I'll put one there!
That's the trouble with you, Mr. Costello, you see? The trouble is your enunciation, your grammatical construction. When you put the past participle in a subjunctive mood, you inadvertently split your infinitive. Now, when you split the infinitive, what happens to your predicate?
You pull the predicate down so the infinitive won't show.
I'll tell you, my dear boy, in two words, exactly what's wrong with Lou Costello. Your reasoning capacity is infinitesimally inadequate. You're becoming more and more ridiculously insipid every moment, and your inherent miscalculations. Together with that, you have a very irascible way of displaying before cultured ladies and gentlemen your inveterate propensities and your ridiculous idiosyncrasies. You cause chagrin and consternation, I may say, amongst your most ubiquitous friends, if you should happen to be possessed of a friend, which I doubt. Now, do you know what you are?
Yes.
What?
I'm a period to a lousy conversation.
Come in.
Daly is working with tonight.
Yes, I'm Bud Abbott, and this is my partner, Lou Costello.
All my boys, bring in the screen and place it in front of Abbott and Costello.
Wait a minute, lady. What's the idea of putting us behind a screen?
It's made of antiseptic gauze. Mr. Daly doesn't want to be contaminated by you two bums.
Who does that guy Valley think he is?
He must think he's Artinus.
Artinus? What is Artinus?
Sinatra, spelled backwards.
Costello, you're jealous of Rudy because he's a great ladies' man.
And by the way, I got to talk to him about that, too, Abbott.
What do you mean?
He's just stealing my women.
Stealing your women?
Yes. I don't mind him grabbing off those 18-year-old girls. But when he starts fooling around with the dames over 65, he's cutting in on my territory.
Nonsense, Costello.
And yours, too.
Look, Rudy Valley can't help it if women like him. He has such beautiful wavy hair.
Why shouldn't he have wavy hair? He sleeps all night with his head in the Venetian blind.
You want to answer the door, Lou, or not?
Yes,
sir. Go ahead.
All right, stand back. I think I must be following. Come in.
Good evening, gentlemen. Allow me to introduce myself. I am Mr. Valley's personal business manager. I am Eustace P. Dink.
Dink?
Dink.
You say Dink?
Yes, Dink, Dink, Dink.
Dink, Dink, Dink went the trolley. The crank, crank, crank went the trolley.
Quiet, Costello. Please. Costello, ask Mr. Dink if he'd like a drink.
Okay. I'll fix Mr. Dink the Dink. I mean a Dink the Drink. I mean I'll get a drink for Drink the Dink. I'll bring him a sandwich.
Please, gentlemen, I just came over here to leave this pail of melted butter. Mr. Valley wants you to pour the butter on the strip.
Pour melted butter on the strip? What's the idea?
Mr. Valley likes plenty of butter on his corn.
Hold me back, Abbott, before I give Mr. Dink a clunk on the conch with a crunch.
All right. Forget about that, Costello, and pour the drink.
Okay, Abbott, I'll take this tall glass.
No, you don't. That drink stinks.
What?
I said that drink stinks.
Must be the cheap gin you've been using.
Never mind that. Go ahead.
Now, forget about the drinks, and let's get down to business. I brought over Mr. Valley's head writer to put some jokes in the script. Will you step in here, C.B.?
Yes, I beg, ma'am. I am the Andy.
Quiet. It's Kissel.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, wait a minute, Kissel.
What's the matter?
You don't write jokes for Valley.
Oh, yes, I do. Yes, I do. I just wrote a joke this morning. Listen to this one. It's going to affect you. What's got four wheels and flies?
All right, I'll ask you. What has four wheels and flies?
A garbage wagon. I'm killing myself. Maybe me the trouble.
Now, wait a minute, Costello. Kitzel may have some better jokes. You can't tell.
But I know a better joke than he does. Listen, Kitzel. What happened to the rat that crawled into the barrel of molasses?
What happened to the rat who crawled into a barrel of molasses? Got kicked me.
Stuck the other rat, too.
It stuck the other rat, too.
Like it?
No.
Love, Kitzel, did you bring some jokes over for our script?
Oh, yes, indeed. Now, here is one joke what Mr. Valley insists that you put in. What is the difference between an animal with long horns, a 10-carat diamond ring,
No, now, Kitzel, please. Everybody knows that joke.
Well, all right, you're so smart.
What I mean, an animal with long horns is a reindeer.
You're right.
And a 10-carat diamond is two deer.
Uh-huh. Right, Abbott. What about the jackass?
That's you, deal.
That's just a rumor. I'm wearing a false tail.
Come in.
Step aside. Step aside, everybody. Mr. Valley is about to enter the studio. Everybody, prepare yourself.
You too, fat boy.
What do you want me to do?
Please remove your hat and shoes, kneel down, and face the east.
Don't insult our guest.
Will you two ushers please take your places in the aisles where you belong?
Abbott. Thank you, fellas. Everybody wants to say to me. Let me at that guy now. I'll knock the rumor right out of his nose.
Costello, that's no way to talk to Rudy Valley. He came over here to help us with our program.
Yes. I was led to believe I was welcome, so I pranced right over here.
Well, you can pick up your lint and prance right out again.
Costello, I asked Rudy to come over here, and he's an old friend of mine.
Indeed, I am. How well I remember when Bud and I were barefoot boys in town. We used to go camping together in the forest. Many's the time that we roasted ham over an open fire.
I can smell the ham roasting now.
Yes. You'd better step back from those hot footlights.
Look, Rudy. Just how did you plan to build up our Thursday night audience?
Well, between us, we've got to win over every member of every family. I know that all the men will listen to you, Bud, and naturally all the women and children will listen to me.
If there are any cats or dogs listening, this is Lou Costello.
Now, don't feel that way, Costello. I've written a little play for you to do tonight in which you play the starring role. The play is called Jack and the Beanstalk. I'll be back in a few minutes with the play.
Now, wait a minute. Look, Rudy, isn't that the play where the goose lays the golden egg?
That's right.
Get your baskets ready, folks. We'll be laying them in the aisle tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, we now present a stirring drama entitled Jack and the Beanstalk, starring Lou Costello in the title role, assisted by Rudy Valley and Bud Abbott. As Costello is the head man, he naturally gets the fat part. And let us listen to this fat head.
All right, Costello, take your place at the microphone while Rudy sets the scene.
I believe you're about to ask me to set the scene. I didn't come over here for that purpose. Costello is the star of the play, but of course, if you insist.
Who's insisting?
Thank you. Remember, Costello, I'm only here to help you. Now let's get on to the story. Ladies and gentlemen, once upon a time, there lived a poor old lady and her son, Jack.
That's me, folks. I'm the star.
That's right. Jack and his mother had no food to eat in the house, so Jack's mother said to him,
Jack, my son, we have nothing to eat and we have no money.
Just a minute, Rudy. Are you playing a part of my mother?
Of course, Costello. Anything to help you out.
Oh, for a minute I thought you was butting into my play.
Of course.
Okay.
Now the mother goes on to say,
Jack, my son, to take our cow into the city and sell it, we need the money.
So little Jack goes trudging down the road with the cow. Clump, 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 moo, moo, moo.
Now wait a minute. Are you doing a sound effects too?
Certainly. I'm here to help you. I'm putting you across.
You're putting me across the barrel. When do I talk?
Be patient, Costello. You'll be on in a minute.
Get me on while I'm still young.
All right.
Now, as Jack trudges down the road with the cow, he meets a funny old man who stops him and says,
Good morning, Jack. How'd you be this fine morning?
I feel...
You're looking good, too. What have you got there in the end of that rope? It's a cow, eh? It's a pretty good poor looking cow. Reminds me of the cow I used to have. Yes. He gave buttermilk. Of course. What else can a poor cow give but her milk? What kind of a cow is it, son? Don't tell me it's a Jersey cow. I can tell by her license plate. I'm killing the people.
And you're murdering me, too. Abbott, will you get the guy out of here?
Costello, please don't interrupt me while I'm speaking.
That's more repulsive than my Uncle Artie said.
Well, Costello, Rudy is only here to help you.
Now, let's get back to the story.
Okay. Now, my mother told me to take this cow...
Please, Costello. The old man isn't through speaking.
I'm sorry. I talk too much. Excuse me. I'm as bad as that secretary you sent over.
Oh, that's all right.
Now, son, let's down to business. What do you aim to do with that cow?
Sell it.
Do what?
Sell it.
That's it, Costello. Get your lines out. I want you to be heard.
Sell it! Sell it! Sell it!
Costello!
Sell it! Costello!
You said that
sell
line
it!
Once. Costello, you said that line once.
No, I didn't. I like the line. I may not get another one. I want to sell it! Sell it!
Costello, please. Costello, please, you're stopping the play. Go on, Rudy.
All right, son. You said you all want to sell that cow. I'll give you five magic beans.
Yeah, 5 beans. My mother will kill me if I only bring home 5 beans.
Just a moment. Who's playing the part of your mother?
You are.
Well, if I'm your mother, am I going to kill you?
No.
I'm going to get and help you. I'm your friend.
I'd like to have you for a dead cousin.
Well, anyway, Jack takes the 5 magic beans and trudges back to his house. Clump, clump, clump. Cow goes away with the old man. Moo, moo, moo.
Cow's got more lines than me.
Costello, please. You be quiet.
Go ahead. Put something in here, Mike.
Be quiet.
When Jack's mother discovers that he has sold the cow for 5 beans, she throws the beans out the window, not realizing their magic power. Then sends Jack to bed without his supper. The little turtle climbs into bed.
Wait a minute. Before I climb into bed, I got to take off my shoes.
One, two, three. Tell her, do you wear 3 shoes?
Yeah, since my last line, I grew another foot. Now, Abbott, all these people out here, they come to see me. When do I start to do some acting?
Right now. You wake up in the morning, look out the window.
That's a nice piece of business.
The magic beans your mother threw out the window have grown into a huge beanstalk that reaches up into the sky. Now, Costello, this is your big moment. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Costello will now climb the beanstalk.
Oh, boy. At last, I'm going to act. Here I go.
Costello, you don't have to breathe so loud.
Yes, I do. I want the audience to know I'm here. Watch me climb.
Costello, don't overplay it. Don't pant so loud.
Look, Valley, you've stolen everything else. I ain't going to lose my pants.
All right. That's enough climbing, Costello. I'll give you the rest of the story very quickly. At the top of the beanstalk, you meet a big giant.
I bet that's you.
How did you do?
I'm quick at those things.
ILPY full thumb. Chase after you. You eat the ground, cut down the beanstalk, and I crash to the ground and lay there, dying.
That's the best thing to happen all night. Now all of the rest of the lines are mine.
But I don't die instantly.
You wouldn't. You're a stubborn type.
Now, Costello, would you deprive Rudy of a few dying words?
Oh, no, I couldn't do that. Go ahead, Rudy. Give us your last word.
Very well. A little sad music, please, Freddy. My time is your time.
Wait a minute, will you? Will you wait a minute? Hold on, Rudy! Stop on!
Wait a minute. Well, what's the matter, Costello?
You were right, Abbott. It sounds like the room with the false tail is holding Valley's nose. That's right.